Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of folkconjure.com in Western North Carolina, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and ConjureMan of ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we welcome a special guest, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us today's topic on graveyard magic. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjurer, root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and ConjureMan. Ms. Kat?
Well, Reverend James, this is your last week as our announcer on the show for now at least. And first of all, so we want to start with a huge thank you. You've done a wonderful work announcing for us, and also for the show that you do with Reverend Art, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. So I just want to give you a big, big shout out. And I know you mentioned last week that you have some revived web pages having to do with Buddhism. So give us a little quick upload on that one, and give us the URLs so we can find them.
Yeah, thank you, first and foremost. I appreciate it. You know, I've enjoyed doing this a lot. And as things have gotten more busy and, you know, I took over for Clifford and Clifford took over for Newt. And, you know, I'm just going to go back to Newt now. So
yeah,
he was great. And he's actually who, you know, I kind of based my little spiel about in the tone that I do it in. But about the new things that I've been working on, some Buddhist websites revived. There were some old ones from the early 2000s that different followers of His Eminence Sem Rinpoche, who created and runs Kichara Forest Retreat in Malaysia. That's kichara.com if you wanted to check that out. But I'm reviving Lord Setrap.com, which is LordSetrap.com. And that is a Dharma protector. It's a minor Dharma protector that not a lot of people know about, but he is very, very powerful and has a lot to do with the Gelug school of Buddhism, which is the one that the Dalai Lama comes out of. And I'm reviving another one that called Lama Tsongkhapa. He is basically one of the early lineage teachers of Gelug Buddhism. So a lot of the teachings that Gelug Buddhism is about come from Lama Tsongkhapa. And so I'm hoping to revive some of these websites and, you know, bring tribute to them. Also, I decided since I had one other Dharma protector, why not get another one? So I also have a fondness for Paldin Lamo, who has a connection with Lakshmi and different Kali Deva and different things like that, if you look at her in different aspects, I suppose. But I've decided to get that one as well. So
oh boy.
I'm going to start working on that one too. And I'll pop those in the chat. But all of those are kind of being connected with Sir Dharma, which is a website that I'm going to create to help sponsor different Dharma practitioners around the world, whether they're monks, whether they're yogis, whether they're you know, lay practitioners, just to be able to help them practice the Dharma. If you can help sponsor a person, you know, a meal or, you know, somebody to clean their house, things like that.
Wow.
So
okay. So this is going to be a way of financially sponsoring Dharma practitioners.
Correct.
Is that, wow. Okay, so you could either send donations or you could hire people, is what you're saying.
Right. So we're going to take up, you'll be able to directly donate to these people. So it's going to be kind of like I guess if you want to look at it, an heir for Dharma practitioners, except for, you know, instead of offering, you know, hoodoo practices, mm-hmm. it's going to be, you know, maybe reciting a sutra for you or something like that. Or if you just want to donate to them, they'll have a donate button so that you could donate to their practice so they could do retreats, things like that.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, please put those in the chat because we've all fallen down on our spelling. So
absolutely, and they're not easy to spell.
And they're not easy to spell for us anyway.
This is a very exciting project.
Yeah, it's a wonderful project, and thank you so much for telling us about it. And I hope you come back with a radio show on it and have them as guests, or maybe have them as guests on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. This would be a great place to make sure that they get out into the public, you know?
Absolutely.
We'll definitely miss you.
Yeah, we will miss you.
Yeah,
and for those who are asking, next week, Papa Newt returns back in the saddle again, and he will be our announcer going forward. We have that to look forward to.
And I'll still be in the chat every once in a while, so I'll still be here.
Oh, good. That's good. We love it when you're around. You're a good friend. All right. I have a couple of announcements to read, but to try to keep this short, what have I been doing this week? Well, let's see. My daughter had her birthday, and then my dear husband had his birthday. She's a Libra, and he's a Scorpio, so we often celebrate their two birthdays on the same weekend day. And my daughter, right after her birthday, got her black belt in karate after 20 years of having kind of dropped the practice. She decided, she just sort of woke up one day and said, I was a brown belt. I never got my black belt. And she went back and got her black belt, which took a lot of training for her because she's in her 50s now. And so I'm very proud of her. And she did wonderfully. I mean, I saw the video and she was just great, just fantastic. So congratulations to her, Althea Greenstone, MD, for her black belt. And, Dom Chris' birthday is today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dom Chris. Okay, boy, we're having a whole lot of birthdays right around now. And, so we all went out and went birthday brunching like we always do. And it was a nice time. All right, now I have some announcements to read, so I'm going to go through them as quick as I can. So Hoodoo Psychics, as you probably know by now, gives away a free reading every week. Now, folks, I just have to say something. Would you turn up your nose at a free reading? No, you would not. So get on over to Facebook and find facebook.com/Hoodoo Psychics. When you find it, just mark that thing, follow it, and every Monday morning or mid-Monday, you'll see a notice of the new giveaway. On Wednesday, the giveaway winner will be announced. And last week's Hoodoo Psychics contest winner was Ashton Tyler. And Ashton has won a free 15-minute reading at Hoodoo Psychics. And there's a couple of other changes upcoming at Hoodoo Psychics. Deacon Millett is working on a 5 minutes free for one-time use. In other words, if you're a new caller, you get your first 5 minutes free. If you're a returning caller, you get one free 5 minute that goes on your account. And so anyone can claim that. And just very happy to see how things are going at Hoodoo Psychics. Lots of action. Okay, then at Lucky Mojo Curio Co. Facebook page, we give away free products every Friday. And sometimes it's books, sometimes it's oil, sometimes it's bath crystals. And last week it was books. And it was Miss Phoenix LaFay's author special. So an author special is where we take all the books that a certain author has written, published by us, because they might have other publishers, but these are just published by us. And Miss Phoenix did two books for Lucky Mojo Book Company, and they are Hoodoo Shrines and Altars and Cashbox Conjure. Hoodoo Shrines and Altars is all about how people have and do build little shrines and altars in their hoodoo practice, including little tabletop layouts. And Cashbox Conjure is just a wonderful collection of money, prosperity, and abundance spells of all types. So these two books put together make an author special. And we have given away three winners. And the three winners each get both books. And the winners are Kim Kim, Marley Girl Marler, and Yolanda White. And we've messaged them all from our Facebook page telling them that they won and the contest has now ended. Now, these are announced on Fridays, and the winner is usually picked on Sunday morning. So if you miss it on Friday, you can always come in on Saturday and make your entry and just write a comment. So if you are one of our three winners, the notice has just went out, please contact the page by clicking message above the contest. Send us your mailing address for shipping purposes, okay? And we will never ask for a credit card. There's no money to be exchanged, but we do need your address so we can send you your books. And there'll be a new giveaway next Friday. And for those of you who are new to this show or new to us, we've been doing these giveaways for 10 years. We started in 2014, and I believe it was in November. So long time of these giveaways, and we've given away thousands and thousands of dollars worth of spiritual supplies and occult books. So good luck. Come back and enter the contest. And if you haven't won in 2 years, you know, you might win again. You know, we don't know. I mean, sometimes people do come back and win twice, but you never – I'll tell you one thing for sure. If you won last week, you're not going to win it 2 weeks in a row. We have a little more sense than that. We want to get everybody in on the fun. But some people who have stuck around and who are real faithful customers and clients, 2 years later, oops, they win again. Okay, just letting you know, because we do it random, but then we have to check them to make sure that they are not, you know, doubling up. Our randomness is really random, and then it might come out too close. So, okay, so that is a really nice thing that you can get for free, two things you can get for free. All right, now I'm going to turn over the microphone to dear Conjurman. And but before we do that, can we just wave our hands in the air and say politics, politics, politics? Things are very crazy out there. The countdown is beginning toward the vote. If you have not ten more days. If you have not voted yet, why not? If you want to go on the day of the election and do that old Norman Rockwell thing where you go into your high school gym or where, local post office or wherever and put your ballot in the ballot box, you can do it. Of course you can. But right now I think more people are voting early. And, of course, that keeps us all on tenterhooks because we've cast our votes already. Have you voted, Conjurman?
No, I was going the day of.
You're a day of guy.
You know, the funny thing is, not currently, but I used to actually go to my middle school.
Yeah,
he's in
right.
school gym. It really
That's
was
right.
my middle school for a long time. I think like 10 years. That's, I was like my voting boot.
that's what it was here for many, many years. And then they changed it during COVID because they felt they needed to keep it into a more, different kind of place. And after COVID, I never went back. We just vote by mail now. I miss that thing of the old, sometimes it would be at the Oddfellows Hall, which was an old, beautiful old building. We'd go down there. That was even more fun than when it was at the gym because it was just I even was a vote counter, not counter, but a vote collector, a ballot watcher. And
But voting early and voting by mail is really convenient. They made it easy. Like that's a really good thing, especially for like accessibility issues and like, you know, if you're older, you can't wait in line that long, right? Like sometimes those lines get disastrous. So it really is, you know, voting early and voting by mail is, I think, a great, great invention. I mean, a lot of countries do voting a lot better than we do. We're still a little bit behind. I mean, we should technically have a national holiday on voting day.
That's right.
In my opinion.
That's right. And there are some countries where you're penalized if you don't vote,
yes,
which is kind of interesting,
voting.
Too. Mandatory voting, yeah. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I think our way kind of comes out of a rural idea that you'd be able to find your local school, right? Because they used to have schools out in the countryside, you know, school district, usually 1 square mile or 5 square miles, depending on where you
went.
Right, it'd be one school, you know where the school is. But now it's all different. And like I said, I'm okay with voting by mail, though I do miss my Norman Rockwell moment. I think, you know what, I quit when there was a woman who always ran the whole thing. And one reason I volunteered was to be with her because I liked her so much. She was getting older and older and older, and she was always there, and she'd check your name off. And I signed up, and I worked there at the voting place for a couple of years. But then she retired. COVID came in. She never came back. And then they moved it. And I was done with it. I thought, okay, that was the last of my 1950s experience. It's gone. So, but I hope you all are voting. And there is so much to vote for. Women's reproductive rights is at the top of many people's list. There are other things like not having a felon or a liar or a rapist as the head of our nation, or someone who is the water boy for a whole bunch of dictators, Vladimir Putin leading that team. There's a lot of reasons to vote and to vote for sanity. And go ahead, you tell them why to vote, Contraman. I'm going to start cursing if I go any further with that.
It's been a really tense past few weeks. I'm really looking forward to these last 10 days being over.
Yeah.
But October has flown by. I actually was going to ask you how hot it was up in Northern California last week, because I was literally thinking just the other day of our conversation about how the seasons have shifted over. Because it's end of October, and yesterday was like 85 degrees in Southern California or something like that, 80 degrees in Southern California.
Yeah.
It shifted, right? Like
it was warm here. I got dressed and put on a leotard and tights under my dress thinking, well, you know, it's October. And and I ended up wandering around wiping the sweat off my face. It was so hot.
Fall doesn't start for, I think, Californians anymore until like November. It's like fall is like delayed by a couple months now, because October is now the hot month. Because I distinctly remember growing up, fall was when, I mean, September is when school started, and the first couple of weeks of school was warm. But then by the mid-September, you generally started to bring out the sweaters. You brought up the sweaters, you brought up the jackets, you brought up the hoodies, and it started to become fall weather. And now we're well into October. I mean, we're headed into November. Forget October. Mm-hmm. We're headed into November. We still have 80-degree weather. And, I mean, that's one of the big issues with this election as well, is climate change, right? Like the real issue is that we are now living in a very different reality than we were 20, 30 years ago, where our seasons really have shifted. I mean, we have fires and hurricanes and whatnot, but even look at the base level, our seasons are different.
Yeah, our fog has disappeared. The famous Northern California fog is gone. But we have one benefit. The apple season is longer than it used to be. The apples they would all ripen kind of in a very short time. And, you know, we got a lot of apple trees. We're up here in Sonoma County, you know, home of the Gravenstein apple. And they'd all be ripe and falling on the ground. And we're like, I could never eat all these apples, which was okay because the raccoons and other animals eat them. But this year, the apple season has been extended, and we're getting very mellow, ripe, crispy apples. It's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. It's better than it has been in previous years. So I don't know why, but the climate change is suiting our apples.
A little bit of a silver lining.
Silver lining. That's right. Silver lining. Well, we're here to talk about graveyard magic, so let's get to it. Our guest is JD. Now, if y'all don't know JD, you know, assuming you've never heard one of these shows before, JD has been on our show a bunch of times, and he's been on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places a bunch of times, and he is a moderator at the Lucky Mojo Forum, which is forum.luckymojo.com, and he is, of course, at Hoodoo Psychics and at AIR. Know JD and really want to get to know him, drop by the Lucky Mojo forum and ask him a question, because his answers are the best. I mean, they're really good. And he'll answer any question about magic, about the use of spiritual supplies. And he's been doing this for years as a volunteer. And he's also helped me a lot with forum thread organization, long story. But anyway, JD has been a real big help in getting the word out to people who are just sort of encountering us through one of these avenues, whether it's the World Wide Web, whether it's the podcasts, you know, and he's just so good. So welcome, JD, once again to our show.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjure Manelli. Nice to be with you guys again.
But you're just, you're such a legend, really. I mean, seriously, there are people, I go to the forum thinking, well, I'm going to help somebody and answer a question out of my great store of wisdom and experience. And they say, JD, can you help me? And I have to write, I'm not JD, but maybe I can help you. He's
I'm
got
sure
his
you're
fans.
More qualified.
Well, I'm not trying to, I'm not doing anything but telling the truth. You have your fans and followers there. All right, so the subject is graveyard magic. And first of all, you did a radio show with Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on graveyard work as seasonal work, having to do with, well, you go ahead, you talk about it, okay?
Sure, we did a show back around Memorial Day, kind of talking about ancestor veneration, particularly with working with graveyards and different graveyard practices around the world, and some African traditions and kind of how that accumulates here in the United States and practices that have people do in cemeteries to honor their ancestors and, you know, spell work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know.
So this time you brought us this topic, which is graveyard magic, okay? So we're going to be talking about how to use graveyard dirt in spells and also some of the kinds of things that people can expect out of graveyard dirt. Now, I'm going to kick this over to you. One of the major reasons people use graveyard dirt is because it slightly scares them. And depending on what culture you come from, if you come from a culture that's not scared by ancestors and the dead, then it's a very natural way to work. But there are many people who work with graveyards because it's a little bit edgy for them, and they want to do work that may be a little bit on the sinister side. So the most questions we get at the forum about graveyard dirt is, can you bury somebody's personal concerns in a graveyard? Wouldn't you agree that that is the most often asked question?
Yes, very much off.
So let's just dispose of that question real quick. The question usually is phrased as, which is more powerful, JD? Is it crossroads magic, freezer spells, or graveyard burial? Tell me, JD.
That is a big question. Is how, what is the most powerful? And I always say it depends. that's a very, you know, niche question that assumes one thing is more powerful than the other. But yeah, that's asked a lot.
Well, what I tell people is if you want to work at the crossroads, you can send people away or have them to wander. And also you could use railroad tracks or anything of that nature or a river. And if you want to stop someone from moving, you could put them in the freezer or maybe in a mirror box. But the graveyard dirt, the graveyard burial of a doll baby of somebody is usually conceived of as burying a part of their soul or spirit, and often is said, and I bury this portion of you here under the right hand of, and you pick a spirit that will do that kind of work, until your body joins them in the grave. And one way to do that, now, of course, people move a lot now, but back in the day, you could actually, let's say you had an enemy named, you know, Bob Jones, and you knew that Bob Jones's grandmother was buried there, and she was a tough old bird when she was alive. You could take a little bit of Bob Jones's hair and wind it up and make a little doll and put it under his grandmother's right hand and say, you'll stay there under your grandmother's control until you yourself are buried in the Jones family plot. Nowadays, that's a little more difficult to do. Anybody else have anything to throw in on that?
Yeah, I was thinking about when I look at graveyard work, I think about, well, I categorize it like working actually in the graveyard, whether that be with a tombstone or be working with the other elements of graveyard like trees and, you know, the ground in there. I look at deploying things such as, like you said, when you're done with a jar or a spell where you deployed in a graveyard, finish the work, and then I look at the graveyard dirt and the collecting of that dirt and using that in spells and other ways. You may take that back to your altar and maybe work that in a mojo, work that in a jar or whatever you're doing. So that's how I kind of categorize graveyard work, at least in my head.
Yeah, and also you can sprinkle it around people's property too.
Yep.
What about you, Condren?
Yeah, I view graveyard dirt through its different functions. So graveyard dirt for protection, graveyard dirt for cursing, graveyard dirt for blessing, graveyard dirt for court case, etc. It has a variety of functions beyond just, you know, scary, bury people and, you know, curse people and whatnot. And I think it speaks to the cosmology of hoodoo at its heart, which views the ancestors and those that have passed on not as entirely gone, but as sources of power, as potential allies. In the same way that John the Conqueror can be an ally, so too can be, you know, Great Aunt Agatha or whatever. She can also be an ally, and you can call upon her. And there's a variety of different ways of doing it. You can connect to the ancestors to your graveyard, so you go to someone you know, or you reach out to those spirits who have a particular function. So police officers for people who are looking for justice, lawyers who are looking for people for advocacy. You find who they are, and it speaks to building a relationship with the graveyard itself. You don't just go in, grab some graveyard dirt and run away, but rather you spend time there. You get to know the ins and outs of the graveyard and who's in that graveyard. And that in turn gives you access to different types of spirits and in turn different types of graveyard dirt. Graveyard dirt for protection, graveyard dirt for court case, just like as I mentioned before. One of my favorite go-to workings for court cases is actually graveyard dirt. You go to the ancestor, if you're facing any type of trouble or someone you love is facing any trouble, you go to the ancestor of that person because they're most likely to help out. You're supposed to knock on the tombstone or you give it a light shake and you say, quickly, quickly, come and help. This person is in trouble. You leave a couple coins, gather the graveyard dirt, and you have them carry the graveyard dirt in their shoe. And it's generally done in traditional Virginia conjure to help a person escape any type of prison.
Well, the chat is picking up here and people are saying all kinds of things. Miss Michael mentions having the graveyard dirt of Frederick Douglass, which she has placed on her justice altar. And Phyllis Margaret Gabor said, I had an interesting thing happen to me when I discovered the original cemetery to our town. When you walk into the cemetery, you need to pass stone pillars that are about 4 feet on the way in. I passed them and wandered around the cemetery for an hour or so. When I decided to leave, right on top of the pillar was a small glass bottle. I know that bottle wasn't there when I entered, so I took it and the next day returned to see who wanted me to take their dirt. Ended up with a Civil War soldier. It was a very cool experience. Okay, this is going to bring me to another thing, because we talk about researching people in the graveyard where you are and working with their spirit. This is so important. But there's also graveyard dirt that is sold by spiritual supply shops. And there are people who say, well, how do I know it's real graveyard dirt? Well, if they're really real, it really is graveyard dirt. How do I know whose spirit it is? Well, one way is to get to know that graveyard dirt and ask them. So I'm going to tell you a story that just happened a couple of days ago. I heard this. So I'm going to not mention any names, and I'm going to slightly change things so that this person cannot be identified. I have a client that came to me, had a horrible coworker, and had tried everything, sweetening the coworker, putting the coworker in the freezer, you name it, and nothing was going well. And she went to a Botanica, which she had, you know, just bought a random package of graveyard dirt. She had no idea if it was, quote, any good, right? She just bought it. She went home, and she did a spell with the graveyard dirt, and this lady quit or was fired, was gone immediately. And so she thought, oh, my God, this thing, like, worked in a day. This graveyard dirt is so powerful. And she realized she had used a lot of the dirt and that didn't have a whole lot left. She was sure that if she went back to the Botanica, she would be able to get the same graveyard dirt. So she called me up for a reading on who this person was. And I very quickly saw and talked to her about it. She had seen it, too. She's psychic as well. Not a professional reader, but a very good root worker, very good reader with a family tradition. And we both knew right away it was a man, and he was a no-nonsense kind of guy. And so she said, well, what'll I do to extend his graveyard dirt? So I told her the usual magical method that I use and other people use to extend anything like that. You add less than half as much of it of, say, local dirt and mix it in and let it sit overnight and then go back and, you know, get your sense of it. Is it like all incubated now throughout all the rest of the dirt? If it is, you can add a little bit more. You can keep doing that, but never add more than half. And it will all, it's like yeast. It will kind of grow your graveyard dirt because the dirt she's getting from around her house is not graveyard dirt, no spirit in it. It's just dirt, right? So this guy then moves to inhabit it. So she followed my advice. Then she called me back and she goes, you're not going to believe what happened. She goes, I went to the graveyard dirt and I wanted to say, now that I've expanded this dirt again and I've made a little place for you and I know your spirit is working for me, what can I give you as an offering? Now, she asked this because she comes out of a Afro-Caribbean tradition in which food offerings and drink offerings are given to spirits. And she said, what can I give you? And she, you know, she had an idea of what it would be, something along a, you know, Santeria type line. But no, he said, all she could hear him say, I'm hungry.
Mm.
And she said, well, what do you want? And he said, chicken. And that was it. He didn't say anything more. So she called me up and she goes, is it okay to give chicken? Maybe I should, you know, maybe he's supposed to have whiskey. I said, no, he asked for chicken. You give him chicken. And then she said to me the funniest thing. She goes, well, I have some Salisbury steak in my freezer. Could I just give him Salisbury steak instead? And I said, no, he asked for chicken. She goes, I don't have any chicken. I don't have any chicken. She goes, he's late at night. I said, isn't there any place you can get chicken? She goes, well, down at the gas station, they sell those hot wings and chicken strips. And I said, you go down there right now. And I said, I'm hanging up right now. And you're going down there before they close and get that chicken for him. And she got about 45 minutes later, she called me back. She goes, I can't believe what just happened. I said, tell me. She goes, I went to the gas station, almost fell on the floor. The lady who was my enemy at the last place we worked, she's working at the gas station now.
No way.
Way.
And
she
goes,
impressive. She said she's working for $12 an hour now at the gas station. So she bought the chicken and went home. And she said, what was the meaning of all of that? And I said, that was him proving to you what a powerful
mm-hmm.
spirit he was. He didn't need the chicken. He wanted to prove to you, I really work for you. There
mm-hmm.
she is, now working in the gas station. Your former enemy at the big corporation, now she's working at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? So when you work with a spirit like that, you know that they are a powerful entity. It's not just
mm-hmm.
dirt, right? This is some guy. So she said, we got to do a deeper reading on this guy. And immediately pulled a card. It was the Emperor. And I went, oh, my gosh, this guy is really serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably ex-military, and he's definitely – he's going to be in charge of all your root work that you need done now because he's for you. He's
mm-hmm.
your friend. So anyway, that was the story I wanted to tell.
Well, I think that it really speaks to there are, once you develop a relationship with the spirit, the graveyard dirt is just that much more powerful. Mm-hmm. Right. The graveyard dirt is a conduit to a very powerful spirit. And that doesn't mean to say that, like, oh, someone, a graveyard dirt that you just found can't be powerful. It certainly can. But if you ask any professional root worker or anyone that does root work for a long period of time, they have a go-to graveyard. They have a go-to graveyard dirt. They have a go-to spirit that they know. They're like, yeah, I know exactly who I'm going to. It's the person we bury our stuff with. It's the person's dirt we get. And there may be more than one. There may be a couple. There may be a few. But we've developed a relationship. Almost all professional root workers, if you talk to them, they have. Like, oh, yeah, this is the police officer I work with. This is the lawyer I work with. This is my great-grandmother that I work with. Everybody has developed this sort of relationship. And those relationships are incredibly powerful because those spirits come through over and over and over again, and they produce really consistent, really powerful results. The other thing I want to ask both of you is, do you ever mix things with your graveyard? Because that's something that I do a lot. I mix powders with my graveyard dirt. I mix certain herbs in my graveyard dirt. It's like a really good protection. Is that salt? Yeah, yeah. So like, there's a variety of mixtures you do.
Right. So graveyard dirt can be a conveyance of a spirit, and therefore it can be spiritually empowering. For instance, in looking at old recipes for goofer dust, which is a killing powder, I'd say 3/4 of them that Reverend Harry Hyatt collected during the 1930s had graveyard dirt as one of the components of the goofer dust. And I don't know anybody who makes goofer dust without graveyard dirt, but it's not the graveyard dirt. It doesn't because it's associated with death, but it's also to get that spirit to drag them down, right? And so that's what you do. And you're so right about having a go-to grave. That's so absolutely true. Now, we have a note here in the chat, and I want to not let that scroll past my vision here. And this is from Kyla Simmons 21. Odd question. Possibly can someone or multiple be calling from a graveyard? I work in a cemetery. A portion of the cemetery, oldest part of our cemetery, is Oddfellow Cemetery. I have ran past this in other forms, such as books, working in the boneyard, and even Miss Cat mentioned them at the beginning of the podcast. Feels oddly like I'm being called. Yes. So spirits will call you, and they can call you for usually out of loneliness, and they can also call you because they know you need help. They can call you maybe to trick you if they're bad spirits, because there are bad spirits and bad people get buried. They can call you to teach you things. So many people in Hoodoo Root Work Correspondence Course that I teach, there's a lot about how to find that grave. And one of the things we do is we ask people to look for a sign. And so many times people, an owl or a crow or a fox or one of people even said a horse was in the cemetery standing by a certain grave. And then they went over there and that was the dirt they were to dig. Other people will say that they're walking down a row of graves thinking they were going to go to the graveyard of a famous celebrity whose hometown it was and who happened to be buried there. But they felt instead somebody else off to one side say, hi, come visit me. And they found that this celebrity had not much interest in them at all, but this other person buried in that grave had some form of reaching out to them. Often nowadays we can go home, look them up online and find out who they were when they died, what their life was like, find newspaper articles about them, and you begin to find that these are real people. So, yes, they will call to you. And another thing that people will say sometimes will call to them will be the plants will rustle or a wind will blow through, a cold wind will blow them in a certain direction. So, yes. And if they call to you, you have to ask them, what do you want? Don't just say, oh, boy, I'm going right down to hell with this guy, right? No, you have to say, who are you? Where did you come from and where are you going? I remember going into a graveyard one time. I was doing gravestone rubbings at the time, and I was doing a rubbing of this one grave because I couldn't quite read it. And I figured if I did a rubbing, I'd be able to figure out what it said. And I was doing the rubbing, and I've always been taught, ask the spirit, where'd you come from? And they told me it was the same town that I was in. I said, where are you going? And they said, heaven, I hope. I thought that was sweet. But I could hear them. It was like a voice in my head. But then I am clairaudient, and, you know, not everybody is. So, that's the answer to that question. The other thing about graveyard dirt, I just want to mention real quick, is there's an old, old custom that comes out of hoodoo traditions. If you're a young root worker and want to get some quick teaching and some quick power as a root worker, it's an old tradition to go to the graveyard where a root worker is buried, someone you know was a root worker, and to lay on their grave all night and sleep there. And they will give you dreams and they will wake you up and you will have assumed some of that power from that dirt. You usually would take a little bit of the dirt with you and a little leather pouch or something as a token as well. And that graveyard will always, that graveyard dirt, that spirit's dirt, will always be useful to you if you come back to do more because you formed a relationship with them. But sleeping on the grave is very common. It's also done by widows and widowers to maintain contact with their departed spouse. Heather Charette says there are Jewish traditions similar to this. That's true, there are. And now JD said, leaving work in a graveyard is a method of deploying the work. How about you tell us about that, JD?
Yeah, I was answering a question in the forum from, not the forum, in the chat from Oyama, who asked about leaving work in the graveyard. So when you're doing a working, such as if one of them that's mentioned a lot by Hyatt is making a mini coffin for the person. If you say you wanted to kill someone, you would make a coffin, you would line it with, you know, linen and prepare it, and then you would go to a cemetery and you would dig a hole in the cemetery, make a mini headstone and have a funeral rite and bury that casket that has the person's item or maybe a doll baby into the grave. So that's a method of deploying the work, which also symbolically represents the death of that person.
Yeah, I'm going to add a little something to that. And when you make the headstone for the date of death, you put down today's date, right? So they would symbolically have died on the day you bury them. Also, these little coffins, people used to make them out of cigar boxes and things like that. Often they would set them out all night and actually have a wake for them before burying them. So in the Catholic manner, putting a candle at the head and at the foot to burn with the casket open, stay up all night over it, and then in the morning bury it in the graveyard. That's very old school hoodoo work. Boy, is that old school.
You can also bury a lemon spell there as a breakup working. It both symbolizes the end or death of the relationship, but also if you bury it in the cemetery or in the grave of the spirit will continue to work to cause discord between those people. So traditionally you bury breakup spells on people's property so that it continues to work on them. But if you're working at a distance and you don't have access to that property, then what you can do is take that breakup jar spell or that lemon spell and bury it in the graveyard, and the spirit will then continue to work on them from a distance, causing them to fight and fuss and break apart. And people have said that there's like an actual spirit of discord in this house. And that's literal. That's a spirit that has been sent to the house to cause discord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good old-fashioned breakup spell. And there are a few others that I've heard that are, again, idiosyncratic, different. But one of the ones that people least expect is to go to the graveyard and get the dirt from someone who loved you who has died, and to put a little bit of that dirt on your fingers and clap the person on the back, the person you want to have love you. Now, this would be an ex-sexual partner, a deceased sexual partner, and you'd get their graveyard dirt, and when you pat the other person on the back, which just this little, you won't show much, but it's a little trace, and you say, now love me the way that so-and-so loved me. And the spirit of your departed lover will jump onto them and teach them how to love you the way you want to be loved. Because a lot of people think of the dead as uncanny, but that's a very old spell, and it has proven effective. I can just say that as far as I know. So Hemaganda says, what about collecting dirt from a mausoleum niche? Yeah. So if a person is buried in a in or stored in one of these niches, what do you do? How do you get anything from that, especially if it's all polished marble? Usually there's a little bit of mortar, and it's considered sufficient to take a little pocket knife and just scrape a little bit of that mortar and get that. If it's one of those above-ground mausoleums, you can get dirt from the four corners of it, just as if it was the four corners of a building. Some people will say get it from the front steps of the mausoleum as well. So that can be used. Now, there's difficulties with that, because what if there's four people in one of those above-ground mausoleums, and one of them was a well-known rapist, and the other one was your Aunt Mary? You got to make sure you get the right graveyard dirt, right? So you might think that over. And some of these spirit-led journeys into the graveyard, there's no one-size-fits-all. You have to think how you're going to do that and how you're going to prepare yourself emotionally.
I do want to mention that there are different customs when it comes to approaching the graveyard itself. There's a lot of commonalities, but you'll find, for example, in the Afro-Caribbean and Afro-Cuban traditions, the idea that you actually take six coins with you and give three at the gate to gain entry into the cemetery, and then leave three with the cemetery, the actual graveyard of the spirit you want to work with. That is not always the case in the other regions of hoodoo. So it is important to note that there are some differences in protocol. On the whole, however, what is in conjure found in Oakland, you're not going to see a lot of people say, "Oh, you've got to give it to the spirit of the gate of the cemetery or the keeper of the cemetery." They're going to go straight to the actual graveyard itself, to the grave of that person, and leave the coins there. But what is common across hoodoo is the idea that the relationship involves giving something and then taking. You don't just take, that you leave three coins, and sometimes people say you'll bury the coins. Others say that you actually leave it kind of in a row on top of the headstone or the tombstone, and then you dig the graveyard dirt and take a little bit of with you. Others say that in addition to coins, you should give some flowers. So there are variations, but there's always the idea that you give something and then take.
That's right. And what do you give? What would you suggest giving? How about you, JD?
Yeah, depending on what you know about the person, giving could be, if the person liked whiskey, it's traditional to leave a silver dime. leaving sweets, tobacco is also very traditional. Another traditional thing is using a silver spoon to collect the dirt and then dropping the coins inside the hole after you scoop the dirt. Flowers. I also, in a form of veneration as well as respect, when I do work, and it also helps kind of cover up what you're doing, is I bring like spears with me and items to help clean up the grave as well. So while I'm there, if people are there as well, that, you know, it kind of distracts while you show respect, clean the, you know, trim back the folly. So that's also another way of showing respect for those who've passed. And preparing the stone as well.
Yeah, and people always are so afraid, well, what if I get caught? You know, what if I get caught? If you come in with cleaning tools and some flowers to lay, you won't get caught. And even if you go into a strange cemetery, I've done it, you just go in with a little armful of flowers or a little vase of flowers in a cheap glass vase, the kind that florists give you to be used at a graveyard, and take it there and lay those flowers out. And then underneath the flowers, you have a big old soup spoon, and you just dig out your graveyard dirt, and you're good to go. And no one will notice that you did it.
Most people aren't going to bother you in a cemetery. Everyone's sort of worried about their own grief or their own whatnot. Even the people who are in charge of cemeteries, their job is to really just leave you alone. I mean, unless you're doing something really, really weird, most cemeteries just kind of leave you alone. Like if you come in with some flowers, no one's going to be like, well, why do you have a trowel in your hand? Like unless you bust out like a full-on shovel and it looks like you're actually doing grave digging or something or grave robbing, most places sort of leave you alone. And it's doubly so in like really, really old cemeteries. They really will leave you alone. I've been in cemeteries where I've had candles out, I've done whole rituals, and sometimes like a cop comes by, they just sort of look at you and go, yeah, moving on. They're like, you know, people have their own religious practices. So I think that this comes from we sort of build up anxiety and then create justifications for why we shouldn't do that graveyard work. Oh, I can't possibly bury anything. Oh, I can't possibly get graveyard dirt. Well, now you cut yourself off from a very important source of power. And so, you know, get over your fears. And one of the best ways you can do that is before you even dig anything, before you even get any graveyard dirt, just visit. Just visit. Just walk through the cemetery. Walk through the cemetery. Let yourself be known to the spirits. Let yourself be known to the people there. And over time, you'll build that relationship. And just as you get more comfortable with spirit, you'll become more comfortable doing the work there, whether it's getting graveyard dirt or burying things. It's a very practical suggestion, but it also builds your spiritual connection. Find a graveyard and just visit it. Just visit it with no expectations.
That's really true. And also, Nagashiva said he saw photos of graves when collecting promo for this radio show that showed also incense and candles were left, on graves. And also, of course, we'll find little dolls and things like that. Another thing, this is cross-cultural. Jewish people leave a pebble when visiting the grave. And if you go to an all-Jewish cemetery, there'll usually be it would look like a bird bath. It'll be just a little dish with white pebbles in it. Usually white pebbles are used, if they are not brought from home, you would use white pebbles because they stand out. And every time you come to visit, you put a pebble on near the headstone or around the grave. And and I have heard uneducated non-Jews say, oh, yeah, there was this grave in our cemetery. It's all these little white stones. I bet they're magical. And they took them. And that's not, please don't. Those are part of a different culture, different religion. Please do not. No more than if you saw, a candle on a grave, you would say, oh, well, look, a free candle. You'd know it was ceremonial. But those little white pebbles don't mean much to Christians and Muslims, and they don't get it. So it's always good just to remind people, don't desecrate Jewish graves by taking away the little white pebbles.
Muslims also put a white pebble.
What? Muslims put a white pebble?
Not in a dish or bowl, but they line it up on the tombstone. It's pretty common.
Well, yeah, the dish is at the opening of the cemetery. The dish isn't by the grave. It's when you walk in, there'll be this little. It'll be just like a little bird bathy thing with the pebbles, and then you grab a pebble and you take it. But what's interesting too is that Jews and perhaps Muslims, just as well, will go to the graves of non-Jews whom they respect and leave a pebble. And so there are many blues musicians, for instance, in the South, when somebody, comes all the way from Denmark or Norway, I'm going to go take the blues tour of Mississippi, and they're going to photograph these graves, and you see all these little white pebbles. Somebody who was Jewish was there and wanted to venerate that blues musician. Which is kind of cool because they had to bring their pebbles a long way because there's no little dish of pebbles at the opening to those cemeteries.
There's also the tradition of knocking on tombstones. This is pretty old school. You find it in New Orleans. But also the idea that if the spirit hasn't been worked with in a long time, you can knock on the tombstone to sort of wake them up. It's very common in Virginian culture. It's also common if it's a spirit that died a month ago, right? Like it doesn't have to be only spirits from a long time ago. But there is this tradition of the idea that if before you actually speak to the spirit, you actually knock, and that's a way to wake up the spirit or draw their attention to you. And so you find this quite commonly across the regions and in various Hoodoo traditions, the idea of knocking on the tombstone. This also becomes a practice for those, going back to the question of mausoleums, you don't have access necessarily to the dirt, you can knock on the mausoleum and draw the attention of the spirit and then either give an offering or a prayer there. We know, for example, in New Orleans, in Marie Laveau's tomb, knocking on her tomb is very common. People leave marks, but people say don't do that because it sort of desecrates and it's, you know, it's all covered with the crosses now on there. And instead they say, just knock on the tomb and then ask Marie Laveau what you'd like.
Okay, we had a question here about the placing of these pebbles, so I just want to make this really clear. Where Jews place those pebbles will depend on the form of the grave. If it's like a flat bronze inlaid soldier type, you know, thing, they would not cover that because then you couldn't read it, so they put them all around it. If it was a granite plinth with a flat top, they'll put them across the top, lay them on the top, but usually the wind will blow and they'll fall down and they'll be all around, scattered around, and you just put more ones on top. If the grave had a pointy headstone and you can't put them on top, people will lay them along the grave at the foot of the headstone, but near where would be the head. It just varies. There's no one way to do it. Okay? I hope I cleared up that confusion. Prayers at Marie Laveau's tomb, says J.D. Tell us about that, J.D.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen is people will, you know, because down, she's in New Orleans, so the mausoleums are like above ground and metal mm-hmm. from the flooding. So in the crescents of the seam lines, people will try to wiggle in as best they can a prayer request and stick it into one of those parts. And the belief is that if you do, your prayer will be answered.
In parts of Texas, there's this idea of sweeping the grave and keeping it clean, meaning no grass is allowed on it. And it is an African custom, but it just sort of stuck in Texas. And so we have people like the great Texas blues musician Blind Lemon Jefferson saying, please see that my grave is kept clean. And he didn't mean mowed. He meant swept down to the dirt. So this is a way that certain graves are handled in the Black community, but not everywhere. It probably outside of Texas too, but Nagashiva put into the chat, tomb sweeping day. Yes, the Chinese have tomb sweeping day, but they don't cut the grass off. What they do is they sweep down the stones and set out an offering of cold food on tomb sweeping day. We have a page on tomb sweeping day at the air site, readersandrootworkers.com, and I'm sure that the whole URL can. And if you live where there are a bunch of Asian people, Chinese people in particular, but also Vietnamese and so forth, on tomb sweeping day, they'll often go out in parties of the family to visit the dead and brush down the graves, make sure that there's no cobwebs or dust around them. Very similar to what we do as Americans on Memorial Day, which is May 31st. Shiva wrote, insert URL here. Thank you, Shiva. What a funny man. I love you, honey. You're so cool. There's also a habit of going to the grave and announcing when there are births or deaths in the family and telling the dead that this has happened. It's a very important part of the cultural work of certain people, Black people, and also Irish people will do that. Go to the grave and say you just had a grandchild or a great-grandchild to the dead. All right, and here is our fabulous bumper music. So, we've covered a lot. J.D. put in one last one. I found a cool spell that if you are being chased by the police sleeping in the graveyard, and the police will no longer look for you in the a.m. Because you've become symbolically dead to them. That's a great one, J.D. All right, let's turn this over to Reverend James.
Thank you, Miss Kat. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychic, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychic.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and talk to today's client. Our client is Kyla, calling from area code 469 in Texas. Kyla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome. And you've been on the show before, but this is a new situation, and you have been to another reader about this. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And she writes, I dreamed about being cursed. At the end of the curse, there was death in the dreams. I found two little boys dead in a room from the curse in my dream. I recently found out I was carrying twins and neither had fatal cardiac activity. I'd like to know if the curse is still going on, and if so, how to get it to stop. Turning it over to you, Miss Kat.
Oh my, Kyla, that's dreadful. That's so sad, so terrible. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, those kinds of dreams that foretell death can be very serious. And because you dreamed that it was a curse, we do have to talk about whether you are still cursed, and if so, how to take it off. Because this was a dream about a curse, and you found two little boys dead, and then you were carrying twins, and neither had fetal cardiac activity. I hope that that things are going better for you now. Are you okay now?
Yes, thank you. It's been a, you know, it was a shock. When I first had the dream, I just was like, oh, I'm cursed, and I need to, you know, break free of it. I did not realize that it was a full-on premonition of what I would find out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you learn from dreams like that, the dreams that burst through the strongest are usually the warning dreams. But we have happy dreams too.
Yeah.
But this would say to me that you are a person who dreams true. Have you ever heard that phrase, to dream true?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you make your dreams come true. It means your dreams tell you the truth. So you have a psychic gift or ability, even though in this case it turned out very, very sorrowful, but you have a psychic ability that others do not have. So listen to these dreams carefully. If you receive a warning about somebody else in a dream, they may think you're nuts, but just do it anyway, because we know now that you dream true. And when someone dreams true, it's usually, you know, important for the community, for the family, that they deliver that message to. Now we're going to go to, are you still cursed? Because I am concerned about this. Do you have a known enemy?
I have been, oddly, the object of a lot of people's energy,
mm-hmm.
In different various ways. Over the past several years, the first person that...
But wait a minute, I'm going to go back. I need a yes or no answer. Do you have a known enemy?
I believe I know who or around about who it would have been, because I did go to another reader, and
okay.
They had told me that the person that I was pregnant by had an ex. I don't know personally, but was very hostile.
Okay. Okay. So let's see if I get something that points to that as well. And also, I'm going to ask you, what is your sign of the zodiac?
Gemini.
Okay. Those are the smart people, and also very good minds, very, very good at any kind of mental work, good for Geminis. Okay, I'm going to get three cards here. The first card is the Five of Swords. This shows a battlefield, and it shows someone smirking and laughing as they send two people away who have dropped their swords. So this card almost recreates the death of those two fetuses, and they are sent away back to the water, which is in the card. The person who's doing this is laughing and has collected other swords. They've done this before, and they're proud of their ability to do this. I'm going to tell you, as a shopkeeper and a spiritual church pastor, I get a lot of people requesting to kill the fetuses of their enemy women. And I won't do the work, obviously. I refuse. But there are people who will do the work, and there are people who will do it themselves because they have some sort of a gift for mayhem, you know. So this person has done this before to somebody else, and this was a curse. This is the card of the past. The card of the present is a card that just says it's time for, you know, healing. It's a sad card. Healing must happen because you can't live under this for the rest of your life. It's called the Five of Cups, and it shows three cups spilled out, a ruined castle, a river flowing by under a bridge, and two cups that are standing without being spilled. And so this is about take a moment, you know, go through whatever grief and however long it takes, but also remember that there are more opportunities. There are unspilled cups. And, you know, when you feel strong, try again. You're going to need protection of your pregnancy because this person who did this has done it before. And they will do it again, and not just to you. There are people that vicious. There are people that mean. And you'd be surprised sometimes to know how evil people can be, and for no good reason other than that that person and I didn't get along and I don't want them ever to have a child, you know, that kind of thing. It may be directed as much against your partner as against you.
I was actually told that reading was that this was not something that was the first time it had happened, probably several times before, and it was the partner that was the main object of.
So the other reader told you just exactly what I told you?
Yes.
Oh, I love it when that happens. Thank you. Thank you for telling me. I don't know who that other reader was, but kudos to them. We're on the same wavelength here. We're seeing exactly the same thing. Okay, the next card is a card that really does say you do need some sort of protection. And this is important. And you may need somebody to guide you to get that protection, because you've been hurt, and it's, you know, once that happens, you're kind of, you know, in a weakened position. So this card is called the Six of Cups, and this shows two little children together in a protected courtyard. The children are bundled up in warm clothing. There is a guardian watching them with his back turned to us, holding a weapon. And this guardian can be conceived of as a ghost, an ancestor, or a powerful spirit, even a saint, who's going to protect these children. And there's a little crossroads sort of drawn on a shield as an emblem in the middle of the courtyard. So these children are protected, and they also have around them these six beautiful golden cups with jasmine flowers blooming in them, which are white flowers. And this is a card that says you will, in order to have a successful pregnancy, you will need serious protection, and protection provided by a spirit, which is so interesting because we've been talking here about graveyard spirits. So I know that Conjurman will do your root work advice, and I'm sure he'll take some of that into account. So I'm going to turn this over to JD for the next reading.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Kyla. Sorry to hear about your situation and what happened to your children, so condolences to you. Excuse me. I pulled three cards and then a follow-up card on, what next steps for you. And so first, about the curse, I pulled the Eight of Swords, and I'm using the Art Nouveau Tarot. So in this deck, the Eight of Swords has a, like the Rider-Waite, it has a woman who is bound up with the eight swords piercing the grounds around her. She's wearing a bright red dress, and she's obviously in a state of distress. And the abdomen area in particular is very much focused on with the binding of the bondage that is holding her. And the red is reminiscent of, you know, the bleeding out. And so that alone tells me that the curse here was towards your pregnancies, as Ms. Cat was discussing. The second card I pulled was the Knight of Swords. And in this deck, the Knight of Swords is running bravely into a battle, fiercely out of anger almost, towards the Eight of Swords in battle against this woman. And the card next to it was the Queen of Cups, which the Rider-Waite in this deck, the Queen of Cups holds the cup while she watches on as this disaster is taking, folding out before her. As the work that she has done, as the person she has sent out into battle, is doing the deeds of war. Basically here is that this woman working with magical forces is evidently is what has been done to cause this death of the two children that you were carrying. And so the person who's done this work in particular to me is a woman to you. And it's not a, because it's a queen, this is someone of a woman status. So not a teen or someone like that. Then I followed up asking what should be done or what work can be done next for you, just to see what are some next steps for you. And what I pulled was the Temperance card. And what I liked about that was many believe that the Temperance card represents St. Michael, who is a defender for those in battle, who defends us against wickedness and evil spirits. So keeping that in mind is something that maybe you consider in your workings as petitioning St. Michael for protection against this person and future attacks.
Okay. All right. Let's turn this over to Conjurman. And I thank you for saying, before I do that, JD, thank you for saying that, because some people see the Temperance Angel as St. Raphael or Archangel Raphael, and there's other people who just says it's just a healing angel. There's so many different, it's an ambiguous card, and which angels go with which cards is one of those things. If you put five tarot readers together in a room, you'll get five different opinions. All right, let's turn this over to Conjurman.
Yeah, I think you've gotten some really insightful readings here. My condolences to you as well. You know, it's not easy dealing with what you're going through, and knowing that you have an active enemy who's caused these difficulties can certainly make it harder. What I'm going to give you is root work to cleanse, purify, protect, and ensure that you don't have to deal with this ever again. Start with getting some rue, agrimony, and mint. These are really great herbs to break jinxes, curses, crossed conditions, and to turn back any evil that has been sent your way. Brew this into a tea and then add a couple drops of Florida water. It will make the water cloudy, but also perfume it. Pour this over yourself on a Monday when the moon is waxing. Pour it from your neck down, washing yourself. Gather a bit of that used bath water and dispose of it off of your property. It can be done at running water or at a crossroads. But once you do, walk away and don't look back. What you're doing is removing the curse and ensuring that it no longer has an impact on you, no longer has influence over you, removing the evil and directing it off of you and off of your property. When you look back, you introduce doubt. You introduce hesitation. So it's really important that you toss this thing over your left shoulder into the river or into the crossroads, whatever they use, bath water, and then walk away. Walk away and then take a different route home. When you get home on a Sunday when the moon is waxing, I want you to go and visit the graveyard where you can find a family member, an ally. This could be someone who's older than you. It could be a grandparent, etc., great-grandparent, someone that you know will help you. You're going to go and you're going to speak your problems to them. You're going to knock on the grave three times, knock, 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 and say, Aunt so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so, Grandma so-and-so, etc., I have an enemy. I need you and I need my family to stand with me. I need the ancestors to be with me, to be a sea of protection, keeping my island safe. Pray and ask for their help. And when you get a strong sense that they've heard you, leave three coins and gather some graveyard dirt. Return home and you're going to take the graveyard dirt and put it in four potted plants. So you have four potted plants. You're just going to add the graveyard dirt to the potted plants, four of them. And you're going to put these in your home, roughly in the corners of the home. It doesn't have to be exact. Like, it doesn't have to be a perfect equal square. but roughly in the four corners of your property, you should have these potted plants. And what this will do is it will bring this spiritual ally as a guardian on the walls. It will keep you safe. This goes to the card that Ms. Katz saw. It'll keep you safe from any further enemy attacks. And now that you've removed the curse, now that you've removed the evil, now that you've removed the mess, we want to make sure that it can never come back to you again. This is a way of protecting yourself, of shielding yourself, of guarding yourself from wickedness going forward. You should keep the plants alive. Anything happens to the plants, that is your early warning sign. If your plant starts to die, that tells you that someone is attacking you, that someone is trying to harm you again. And because it's placed in the four corners of your home, you will also know what direction it's coming from. Ah, it's coming from this direction. So you'll know sort of a general idea of where your enemy is. So pay attention to it. Regularly feed these plants. Keep these plants alive to ensure that you, your property, and your family remain safe. This spiritual guardian, this ally, will be your protector. This will be your guardian on your wall. Then the third and final working that I recommend is a personal medallion of St. Michael that JD saw. You can purchase these medallions online. What you're going to do is you're going to order this St. Medallion, the St. Michael medallion. Anoint it with some protection oil. Hold it in your hand as you recite Psalm 91, the protection psalm. Then wear this. This is your personal amulet, your personal talisman that will keep you bodily safe. So now that we've ensured that your enemy can't attack you again, we also want to ensure that your health is okay. Now, St. Michael is an interesting saint because in many traditions he's known as the protector saint. He's known as the guardian, but he actually does have a connection with healing as well. And indeed, he's often called upon in many traditions as the protector of mothers and people who are pregnant, who are going through labor. There's some very old charms in which St. Michael is invoked to help with the ease of labor, in fact. So he is one of those interesting archangels that has this really powerful protective component, but there's also this healing element to it. So once you've anointed it and recite Psalm 91, you're going to wear this around your neck, and it will keep you safe going forward. Thus, you've removed this mess and then created layers of protection to ensure you will remain safe. That's my recommendation for you. Let's see if my colleagues have anything further to add.
Thank you.
Wow. I have nothing to add. That was really great. How about you, JD?
No, I was just going to point out what you said in the forum about how it can also be used in apartments or condos by putting them in the four corners. That's something that's a lot on the forum about people who live in houses versus apartments.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things about how to work in an apartment versus a house, and it can be done. Don't worry about it. And even if the apartment doesn't have really good lighting in the four corners, you can always get a little grow lamp, or you can rotate the plants around so that one of them gets sun every day or whatever. These plants will be your guardian and also your lookouts, your scouts that will tell you if the trouble is returning. If one of the plants dies, buy another one, right? And make sure that graveyard dirt gets transferred into to the new plant. That's all. It's very simple. All right. Oh, JDS, is there a specific plant? No, whatever grows good. All right. Before I do that, I still got to answer JD. Some people like cactuses because they're sharp and spiny. Some people like succulents because they're almost foolproof and very hard to kill. Some people like viney, twiny plants because they will vine and twine and capture enemies. It's whatever you want. And some people will actually, you know, plant four Norway spruces if they've got a large property. Sorry about that. Let's take it away with our fabulous tenoric tritone and network identification and schedule.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Monday, October 28th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with myself and Irvin Art will be a rebroadcast of one of our favorite shows and new ones coming soon. And Tuesday, October 29th on the Crystal Silence League in syndication with John St. Germain will be the topic of Osiris. And Tuesday, October 29th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LaFay will be the topic of Hedge Witches. And Wednesday, October 30th, on the Now You Know Show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of Baptism and Pines. And Thursday, October 31st, at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deb Boyce will be a seasonal rebroadcast on the topic of Samhain. And next Sunday, November 3rd, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman will be Ethan Nickel with an Oracle Hour on Lenormand's Cartomancy. And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, JD of VoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan. Take it away, JD.
Thank you, Reverend James. This spell is a protection spell using graveyards and graveyard dirt. Go to a graveyard and collect dirt from a loved one. After buying the dirt and thanking the spirit, return home. Take a spiritual bath for protection, and then you are ready to start the work. Take a brown paper bag and rip it into a square on all four sides. With a pencil with the eraser removed, write your name 9 times stacked. Then turn the paper to the right 1 time and write Hebrews 12:1 over your name covering it, which is, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 5-spot dress the paper with protection oil, then light spirit guide incense and smoke the paper in the incense as you call on the spirit of your loved one by name to assist with you in the protection. Set it aside and let the oil set on the paper. When it is dried, take a pinch of the graveyard dirt and place it into the center of the petition paper. Fold the paper up as you call the spirit of your loved one 3 times, asking for their assistance in protecting you. Tie the string around it as you dress it with protection oil and seal it with 3 knots into a red mojo bag. Take bloodroot to create a magical bond between you and your loved one, which is also serves as a form of protection. Althea root to foster spiritual connection between you and your loved one, and Angelica root for protection. Dress all 3 of these roots with protection oil, and when they have dried, set them also inside your mojo bag. Tie the mojo bag and pull it shut. Dress it with protection and spirit guide oil by dressing the 4 sides in the center. Smoke it in spirit guide incense and set it under a dish with a white candle dressed with protection and spirit guide oil. As it burns, pray for the spirit to protect you, the spirit of your loved one to protect you as you read Psalms 23 over the candle. When it is completed, take the mojo and back and go to the grave and bury it at the grave for 3 days at the right hand of the loved one you are working with. After 3 days, return to the grave, dig it back up, and wear the mojo on your body, and pay the loved one with silver coins and water and other treats they liked when they were physically alive. If you're able to find a loved one. You can adapt this spell by working with a soldier or a police officer. And in place of the blood root, you would use blow cohosh root. That is my free stuff. Do you have any add-ons to this, Kat or Conjurman?
Oh, I love that.
Wow. That was good. I just tracked down the Hebrews 12:1. That's an interesting verse. I did not know that one. It's very, very good. And I think this is, I mean, what you've done here is very interesting, because burying a mojo bag and then digging it back up again, in fact, burying anything in a graveyard and digging it back up again, is, again, a very old way of working, and suggests a familiarity with the mm-hmm. graves. Mm-hmm. Phyllis Margaret Gabor said, I knew the free spell would be a banger. He always has the instructions ready to go into chat. Claps. Yeah. Yeah, yours are very, very thorough. This is very good work. Also, I would say that in doing this kind of work, if when you go to dig up the mojo, the hole that you left, and you did specifically say this, but in the hole that you dig it up, that's where I would put the coins, you know, in that hole rather than another place, right? Right? Because you did that. And you mentioned silver coins. This is a very old type of spell, because U.S. money hasn't been made with silver since the 60s. And but those of us who really like magic always will work with silver coins. And that would be pre-1963 Roosevelt dimes or any Mercury dimes. They have Liberty on them. It looks like the god Mercury, but it's really winged Liberty. They were made from 1916 to 1945. You can buy them online. They don't cost a dime anymore, though, folks. But silver coins are the most valuable in magic. Wouldn't you say so, Conjurman? Uh-oh. Silence from Conjurman.
Absolutely, yes. So I was muted.
You were muted. Okay.
I didn't realize. But yeah, absolutely, silver is perfect here. I also highly recommend, if you dig the hole, that's where you put the coins in. That's already the connection you're making. It's already what you touched. That's where you want to leave those coins.
That's right, exactly. Well, that was a great spell, JD. You're really good, really traditional worker. Folks, JD does readings, and he does root work for people. So check him out. I think that of all the people that I've worked with lately, you know, what I would call kind of newcomers to my world, that you, JD, are one of the most traditional. You and Papa New, I think. Conjurman, I've been knowing a long time, so I don't have to call him a newcomer anymore. But,
I'm an old hat.
But, JD, you really carry on the tradition to the next generation. And so proud of you. So happy to know you. All right. He says thank you. Yeah. Well, give your dogs a hug for me, okay? JD is the root worker with the most little dogs in America. Okay. Let's turn this over to James for his last carrying us out of here for now.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman, and thank you, JD of Hoodoo House Detroit in Detroit, Michigan, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest will be Ethan Nichols of MyselfIsMyCars.com in Southern California, bringing us the topic of Lenormand Cartomancy. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman at ConjurmanConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Reverend James. And we'll be seeing you in other places, and it'll be wonderful. Well, as announced, next week we're going to be having Ethan Nichol, and a very talented root worker who works with Mama E down in Southern California. And we're going to introduce him to all of you, and he's going to be talking about Lenormand cards. So that'll be a good introduction to him. And did I say mystical and magical places? Well, whatever. Mystical, mages, and magical places. so too many M's in there for me, my little brain. All right, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Nighty.
Bye.